B-Pod Studios.
Joe out in Ben Salem's on the Fanatic. What's up, Joe?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Not much. My interpretation of that tweet is he doesn't think he's going to be here. But that's just my opinion. But my Sixers point is, I'm going to ask a question to you guys. Do you think the chemistry by trading six players and trading three of their five starting rotations from the beginning of the year is going to work in the playoffs, knowing that we already had chemistry issues with the philosophized Butler?
Joe, on the floor, what their skill sets are, they should work. They should work together. It really should.
It should, I hope. And I hope...
The skill sets, you know what I'm saying?
Ways.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I think we're going to find out about... We'll find out about Brett, too, Joe. I mean, we'll find... By the end of the playoffs, we'll find out about Jimmy Butler, Brett Brown, Tobias Harris, like, you know, where you're spending your money. You'll find all those answers. We'll come to fruition.
And I hope it works out. Knowing now that we have no assets in the cupboards and our two last draft picks are one's in the G League, the other one's hiding in his room.
Yeah, it's not about draft picks anymore, though. It's not about that. It's about now, and it's about, you know, getting veterans on the buyout that want to come and ring chase. That's what the league is now.
Yeah, I definitely hear you on that, and it's going to be an awesome spring.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I want to look at it positive. I think on the floor, Joe, it just all fits.
Yeah, I definitely do. And I see Simmons just dishing out to the three-point line all game, you know. I just hoping I see buckets raining. But we will definitely see. My only concern is Brett's not stuck in his way with that damn dribble handle.
Yeah, I hear you, brother. I feel you. I mean, with all those assets, we talk about assets on the floor that fit together, you don't need to worry about that, I think. So I'm with you.
Okay. All right. Well, hope I hear from you again, and take care.
All right, we'll call you tomorrow, Joe. Have a good one. Appreciate it. So the bro tweeted, he said, I hope to hear from you again. So I figured, you know, until we could check in with him tomorrow. So apparently this is a Lou Holtz quote, apparently, the bro is saying. But I'm seeing, no, it's actually a guy named Charles Swindoll.
Okay.
It's a brainy quote. Let me see what he says it means. And again, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. I guess this guy was like a famous guy. See, just got the quote. I'll find out what the supposed meaning behind this is.
Yeah, I mean, here you go. I just got on his Instagram.
Mm-hmm. You're on Instagram?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Constant criticism creates constant insecurities. He likes quotes.
So he's a big fan of like the inspirational quotes.
Yeah, he's philosophizing. Come on.
Yeah, but there's got to be a reason for that quote because it's applicable to something he's feeling today, you would think, right?
I don't know. Well, maybe he just wants to get it out there. Maybe he's
a spreader of the word.
Yes.
All right.
Come on.
Well, somebody might buy that.
Give him the benefit of the doubt.
Glenn on the Boulevards on the Fanatic. What's up, Glenn?
Gentlemen, my two favorite guys. How you doing?
What's up, G?
Hey, don't read too much into the tweet, but ask yourself this. What was the circumstances when he tweeted or put it on IG before? And what are the circumstances now? Because you got to know when you're Jimmy Butler, once you tweet something like that, it's going to be scrutinized. So there's a method to his madness. And plus, he's a Scorpio like me. We're pretty philosophical guys.
See that? He's a deep thinker.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's also a Scorpio with a poisonous tail.
Just don't cross him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't cross, right, G?
You don't cross
there
a Scorpio.
You,
you end
go.
Up like Neuberg.
Let me tell you something about Scorpios. In the back of our mind, anyone has ever hurt us, we spend all of our lives thinking about ways we're going to seek revenge and make you pay for the pain you caused us, even if we never act on it. But it's always back there. This is the way we are. Butler and Simmons are kind of like, it's like you're a Mormon, you got two sister wives, they're great everywhere else, but one can't cook, and the other's kind of crazy, but you keep them.
Wait a second. The greatest, you just used a polygamy analogy.
Philosophical, what I tell you, I'm a Scorpio.
It's like an episode of Big Love.
Gee, that rules, man. That rules. That's outrageous. I never thought I'd wake up and hear today somebody give me an analogy to polygamy. Very good, brother.
Hey, you know how we roll, Jay. We've known each other for a long time, Anthony.
That's right, baby. That's right.
Hey, Jason, listen. You got me paying attention to your Flyers, but you got me doing that.
Is that right?
No, I never really focused on hockey as much as I have been.
Well, why not?
It's just not something I gravitated to, man. When I was younger, wasn't really introduced to it. But I've been to a couple of games now. I've been listening to you. I'm on board a little bit.
All right, man. I'm glad that you're enjoying it. And I hope that you stick with it. And I hope the team gives you something to root for.
You got it. Thanks to you two guys, man, for keeping me entertained every morning.
Thanks, appreciate brother. That. Glenn, have a great day, all right?
You too, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, we'll check in with Glenn tomorrow, too. He was inspirational, Glenn. A polygamy reference on the show is something, I think that's our first.
Yes, my first polygamy analogy I've ever had in doing this.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Very good.
Let's go to Andre in Philly, joins us on the Fanatic. How you doing, Andre?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Dre.
Before I get to my point, see, stuff like that tweet and the amount of minutes and wear and tear on his body, Tom Thibodeau's minutes are like twice as many as everybody else. That's why I'm kind of okay if they move on from him. I think they're going to resign Tobias Harris, but if they move on from Jimmy, I'm okay. He's 29, but he's more like 33 or 34 because of the wear and tear. So I don't know about giving him 4 to 5 years and a whole lot of money. I'm okay with that.
Well, let me ask you a question. I'm with you, and I think you make a good point about, you know, how hard he busted on defense and the wear and tear on your body. But you know what? Listen, I mean, if this thing works and you don't have and Durant's not coming here, you know that Durant's not going to come here, I got no problem bringing him back if it works. He's a money guy at the end of the game.
Yeah. That's why I said I'm good with it either way, though, because he does some things that you definitely need, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they bring him back, I'm okay either way. Tell me what you guys think of this. And I thought about this yesterday with the trade, putting myself in the mind of Elton Brand or Brett Brown. It's kind of heard and known around. I've heard it from Chris Broussard and other people that are plugged in. You hear them say that Ben Joel, being the born superstars from birth, they're not exactly like the hardest working guys off the court as far as improving their game. And the two guys you brought in this year, and Butler and Harris, are guys who had to work to make themselves more into what they are. Do you think there's something to Elton Brand thinking of, I don't just want to bring in talent to help my two superstars, but two guys who will push them? Because these two guys had to mold themselves into what they are, whereas Ben and Joel were kind of born with golden shoes on.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I mean, I think Ben and Joe work hard for being superstars, all right? Like, from what I understand. I think that the real motive is the fit on the floor, right? Look at you got a stretch four, you got a score, you got a generational big, and you got a terrific young point guard.
Well, the other thing, too, is it's not just how they fit on the floor. It's all, you have to mix a roster with young players and veteran players. Like, you can't just construct a roster full of 22 to 24-year-old kids.
That's true.
You know, you got to have that veteran presence.
Go back to the Baby Bulls. Yep. I always remember the lesson of the Baby Bulls. Jerry Krause had gone on, and which is why Mike ended his career in Washington, and he couldn't wait to get rid of Scotty and the whole crowd, and he builds his Baby Bulls team. And they never did anything. They had like a blip early, and they never did anything because you're of that point. You can't have the same age guys as a team. You got to have a mixture of guys. And I do. Look, I think what our last caller said made some sense. I know Chris Broussard, I guess the point is like, well, you know, you have two self-made guys and two, you know, born stars. That attribute helps. But ultimately, I think it goes back to the floor. They fit.
Well, and the other part of that, too, Ant, is these other guys have been in the league a while and are chomping at the bit to win. These guys are younger, and a lot of times a younger player will think, I got all the time in the world, right? There's no urgency because I got 15-year playing career that's sitting in front of me. These guys are going, hey, man, I'm 26, 27, 28. This NBA life doesn't last forever. I'm set financially. The one thing I can't buy, though, with all the money I have is an NBA title. I want to win.
Yeah.
So you mix all that together. And plus, you mix that together from a financial perspective.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, guys like Ben aren't making the huge dough like Joel's making now. And, like, Butler's making and going to make. And Tobias Harris as well. So you have to mix those things together to have the perfect team. And you just can't have all those young guys. There's too much inexperience to get you through those battles.
Someone's jealousy, too.
Oh, no doubt. That's always a big part.
You're the same age. Different. You look at guys older than you.
Yeah, he's earned it.
Yeah, you know, you look at him differently.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 610-632-0975. And those veteran players got to cultivate the younger players through the pitfalls of being an NBA player and how to develop their game.
They're also, that influx of youth means something, too. There's a youthful energy that is great in any sort of in work environment.
No question. Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez, 97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, Valentine's Day is next week. That's right. And the woman in your life has been lying to you. That's right. She's been telling you she doesn't want anything for Valentine's Day. But in reality, it's a test. It's a trick. It's a ruse. Don't fall for it when the person you love the most says they don't want anything for Valentine's Day. And if you're a polygamist, that's twice you got to get. That's twice the gifts. So here's the deal. You got to find the I Hate Steven Singer real long stem American Beauty rose, deeply and lavishly dipped in 24 karat gold. I've known Steven for years. I can tell you personally, this is the best gift ever for Valentine's Day. They're not going to die in a week, get tossed in the trash like flowers. They last forever. They come with a lifetime guarantee. Starting at only $59. Don't pay for shipping. Go right now to IHateStevenSinger.com and take advantage of Steven's free shipping to arrive in time for Valentine's Day. There are many gorgeous colors to choose from, exclusively and only available at I Hate Steven Singer Jewelers. That's IHateStevenSinger.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Hey, by the way, Flyers tonight looking to continue the streak.
Who?
On the way to 10. What? Or maybe beyond. You ready, Stoli in net tonight, Mert?
I got nothing for you.
What are you thinking? What's the, now Kings came off a big win in Jersey.
Did they?
Yep. Mm. So are you ready for tonight? You going down?
Nah, I don't think we should talk about it.
It's a big streak, man.
Nah, nobody wants to hear about it.
It's a big streak.
You know where I stand on it, but I don't think anybody wants to hear about it.
All right, well, tell me this. Are they going to win tonight?
Nah, I don't know.
All right. Let us get back to the phones because...
We got to talk about this Jimmy Butler stuff.
Well, I think that we are making too much of it.
Of the tweet?
Yeah.
I totally agree. Let me read you a tweet in regard to the tweet. A Real Prince Blue on Twitter, great tweeter to the program, says, so Philly going to overreact to the Jimmy Butler tweet at Jason Mert? Instead of guessing, let's wait until somebody asks Jimmy. He said since day one, ask me if you want to know something. Jimmy will be fine. We must. Why must we always be?
Yes.
Why must it always be drama in the scene?
I totally agree. He's right.
Yeah.
I mean, thank you. What's his name?
Real Prince Blue.
Thanks, Real Prince Blue. Thank you, buddy.
First of all, great Twitter handle name, by the way.
RPB.
RPB. No, I like
thank
that.
You, man. I appreciate it, brother. Because all I want to do is focus on the court. Right?
Because that's where your answers will come.
Because I don't care about what happens and you know, who yells who. And it. I don't care about it. I care about what's on the floor. The only thing I care about. Because you don't have to be best buddies to go and win a title.
Yeah.
All right? You got to be able to achieve on the floor. And their skill sets all match. I'm expecting, and I'm going to tell you something, all right? Because they're going to get the bench. They're going to fill out the bench. And they have to. It was funny. I was talking to my cousin yesterday about this. You got to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And it's got to be a good series.
Yeah.
But you can't get blown away in the Eastern Conference Finals. You got to get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
6-7 games.
And it's got to be a good series.
Yeah.
Or else, my eyes are on the coach.
Well, yeah. And, the thing is, and look, Jimmy put that tweet out and we read the tweet because, look, we're That's our job. I have no clue what it means. I have no clue. I don't know if it's positive. I don't know if it's negative. And then to your point, and you and I are both kind of in that same ilk of, you know, like the drama in sports to me is something that I'd love a lot less of. Unfortunately, in this society today, it is a big part of it. And you have guys like LeBron James, who's a drama magnet. I mean, he is the king of drama. There's a picture of him on the bench the other night. A whole team sitting over here, and he's sitting over there by himself because he's dramatic. And that's the reason why, in my opinion, he hasn't been good for the NBA. It, big picture.
Yes.
But that being said, yeah, it is all about what happens on the field of play, whatever sport it is, whether that's a court, whether that's a rink, whether that's a gridiron, or whether that's a diamond. That's the only thing that really matters because winning fixes everything. So if they get to a final, obviously, and Butler's good, and Tobias Harris is good, and even though their contracts are expiring, and they say, well, if I stay here, then maybe next year I walk off this floor with that trophy, then that should be the motivation.
Yes, that's why the tweet, I don't get involved with that.
Yeah.
That's why I don't read into social media.
Yeah, I can't even speculate with you because I have no idea what his headspace is right now. No clue. Maybe he's just trying to be Socrates. You know, I don't know.
I told you, he's a philosophizer.
Yeah, I like a philosophizer. Let's go back to the phones and go to what? Let's go down to North Carolina and check in with Chuck on the Fanatic. How you doing, Chuck?
Hello, everybody.
Chuck, hey.
How's everybody doing today?
What's up, my brother?
I'm going to tell y'all something. My wife says you guys have transformed me into a Philadelphian.
Oh, really?
How so? Because I didn't follow, when I watched football, I just kind of followed LeBron. I never had a team, but ever since he kind of became his way, I mean, I've just become a bigger Sixers fan. Of course, I'm an Eagles fan and even the Flyers. And I caught myself looking at NBA stats about Tobias Harris. I have never done that the whole time I've been alive. Looked at NBA stats the way I was looking to see who we're actually getting. I'm intrigued. I'm invested.
Well, see that? Now you should be. If you're going to be a true Eagle fan, you know, part of being an Eagle fan is loving all the other teams. So I appreciate
that. You know how we stand with the Phillies, though. You know, we got that evened out. So, but look, this is what I'm saying about Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
I want the thing to be amazing. I want it to be awesome because that's what we need for this team. But the thing is with him, every time he seems to open up his mouth, it's something negative or he's had a controversy with somebody. So when my wife comes home and tells me about her emails from her boss, every time she describes the email, she's got a snarl on her face. And then by the time I'm done with the email, I'm like, there's nothing to be mad about, babe, at all. That's why I don't like social media, and that's why I don't like it, because people can perceive it and turn it into whatever they want, even if it's meant to be positive or negative. So I'm going to go with positivity. I just think it's an ill-advised tweet at the wrong time.
Yeah, well, maybe he's just, again, it's a saying that he likes. So that's
But the way everybody perceives him right now, the way he came over from the Timberwolves, the way he talks about his teammates, I just think with the new
he hasn't said anything bad about his teammates.
Well, I mean, I know that, but I mean, what he's saying is about the team and how he's supposed to react when everybody knew.
So don't fall into the trap, Chucky.
You don't want to, but that's just the way that we perceive him. That's the way humanity perceives him as that. Where Ben Simmons had wrote that, I'm going to think automatic positivity. Embiid says it, I'm going to think automatic positivity. Butler, I'm on the edge with him. I like him, and I think he's a good player, but I don't think
Just watch the games. Be more invested in the game itself. That's my advice. don't get involved with that stuff.
But some people feed on that.
I hate that.
Like the simpler time of sports was without all the noise. To me, was a pure experience, more pure. Pure is probably not a word. A more pure sports experience. Now it's clouded.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of noise, is what it is.
Yeah,
so, you know, you sift. There's more noise than the past, but you know, again, I don't know why we got to fixate on that thing. To me, tomorrow night starts.
Tomorrow's a big night.
Don't get fixated on nonsense.
You got the Nuggets tomorrow night at the Wells Fargo. Again, national TV. What else is new? Ho-hum. This team's always on national TV. Saturday, or is it Sunday, rather? Sunday Lakers, ABC. And then Tuesday is the Celts in town. And suddenly, the Celts, all of a sudden, they got the best odds to come out of the East, Anthony. And that we say these games don't mean much at this time of year. And you could say they're measuring stick games.
They're not measuring sticks.
They're not anymore. I totally agree with you. Because it's all this team's going to be in the playoffs, whether the two or the three seed. Probably not going to be the number one seed. You never know. But probably not going to be the number one seed. And, you know, as long as these four guys, and along with J.J. Redick, I keep going four and I should go five because it's unfair to J.J. As long as they can figure out how to space the floor, get the most out of each player's skill set, and be humming on all cylinders come late March, early April for the end of the regular season and roll into the playoffs, then that's all that matters. That's really all that matters. And the other key component is going to be Brett. Figuring out how to use these guys. Figuring out rotations to put himself in the best position to never deplete the floor, at least until he gets a bench, and then to see what they are able to accomplish via the buyout market or maybe before 3 hours and 29 minutes from right now when the trade deadline expires. So you get the sense that Fultz isn't going anywhere.
I don't think so.
Okay, there's been a little bit of chatter regarding Fultz, but...
Yeah, I don't think so. Not yet. No, I don't think so.
I haven't really seen anything new of substance come out since we've been on the air. So we'll see how that plays out. But, you know, 3 o'clock today, it's a big deadline. And, you know, it kind of snuck up on everybody, the trade deadline. It's like, oh my God, it's next week all of a sudden. But it's here. It's here today. They're going to make one big deal. Can they swing another one? And, you know, they're kind of depleted on assets to make trades. But you do have this Fultz thing. And I just wonder how he's looked at around the league. Because if you look back at his Washington tape, like, you okay, all right.
I can't. You know what? I can be honest with you. I can't go there.
Mm.
I can't go back to Fultz at Washington. I can't.
It's too far gone?
I can't. I'm not.
Okay. Right?
Like, he's not been around. If he comes back, fine, whatever. But right now, I don't want to talk about Markelle Fultz. I mean, quite
unless
frankly.
Unless he's dealt.
Yeah.
That's the only conversation worth having.
But otherwise, yeah. I can't go back to his perception around the league. How would you perceive the guy? You perceive the guy going, I don't know, I can't trade for him. So what am I trading for?
Yeah, you know, NBA general managers are weird, though. A lot of guys always think they can fix people.
Okay.
There's an arrogance involved.
Yeah, but here's the problem. I don't know what I have to know the problem before I can tell you if I can fix it.
Yeah, you can't find the solution until you know the problem.
I don't know if he's going to play.
I don't know if we know this. We don't know the problem. At least we don't. I don't even know that he does, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Markelle. Let's go to Ryan in Camden County on the Fanatic. How you doing, Ryan?
Hey guys, how are you?
What's up, Ryan?
I'm here to bring you guys back down to earth. You know, I'm here to talk a little positivity on the airwaves. Listen, Jimmy Butler is here for one reason and one reason only, and that is to win. When he was in Minnesota, he wanted to get those young guys, Kat and Andrew, to win. They didn't want to be great. They just wanted to be good. We're here to win championships, okay? That's why we got Tobias. That's why we have Jimmy. We needed guys who could stretch the floor, who could create their own shot, who can switch on
defense. I got to stop you real quick because I'm with you. I said the same thing. But what do you mean bring us back to earth? Because I don't know what happened in the last 30 minutes because I've had the same reaction that you did all day, yesterday, and today.
When that was?
What?
What was the reaction?
I don't know. Have you not listened?
No,
I love the trade. I don't know how many times to tell you. I don't know even where you're coming from.
I think it's been
because you're repeating the same thing I've been saying since yesterday and today.
I think it's been pretty much universally loved for the most. We have a few guys that go, I don't know, you gave up too much.
All due respect, brother. I just don't know where you're coming from. Right? You know, if you heard him talking about the tweet for a little bit. That was just 5 minutes of non-conversation, right?
Let's move on. Jimmy in the Northeast is on the Fanatic. I got to burr my saddle today. What's up, Jimmy?
Yep, guys.
Jimmy, take us off the air.
Jeez. Think you get that same zip code as that speakerphone?
Yo, guys. Yeah.
There we go.
What's up, buddy?
There you go. Sorry, I'm
took a tram car to the phone.
What's happening, pal?
No, with the Jimmy Butler thing, who gives a crap about a tweet? It could be about someone pooping on his lawn.
I agree. I'm with you. Thank you. Who cares about that stuff? I just want to watch him play basketball.
Exactly. And by the way, I love the trade. Because now, who's going to guard who, like in the playoffs? Who's the Celtics? Who are they going to guard? Like, because now Horford, he can't guard Simmons. He's going to have to guard Harris. Like, no one's going to be able. I can't wait for the playoffs. It's going to be unstoppable.
Yeah,
we're built for the playoffs.
Well, you're right.
We got to gel first, but.
No, you're right. Because here's the deal. What Harris gives you is something that you really, really desperately needed, particularly in the playoffs, because he can hit a corner three, right? He's a good three-point shooter. And that's what's been missing, is that spacing on the four and a half court.
You're watching his game, too. I'm not saying he is this guy, but his play reminds me of Paul Pierce. He's got, like, his little drive.
I agree. Through. You're right.
He's fired up for this.
I know.
He's a
poor man's PG is what he is. Less the defense.
Yeah. How is he on defense?
He's all right. I mean, he's not a liability like I've
heard.
Does
he get after it?
Talk.
Is he, you know, he's lazy? I haven't seen that much to know with the defense.
Nah. He's credible. I mean, he's not Butler, but he's good.
Yeah, well, I love it. Everybody just needs to stay positive and don't try to spin this. Come on. It's a tweet, not you guys. It's everybody else.
Yeah. Thanks,
everybody
buddy.
Needs to relax.
Look,
guys,
Jimmy Boy. The thing about it, though, is it's just like the timing of it is relevant. It is, unfortunately. You know, this is the way guys just kind of say things. And to RPB, you tweeted earlier, you know, I'd love to get Jimmy on and ask him about it. We'll invite him right now. Jimmy, come on. You know what I mean? Can we put a request in, Andrew, with the Sixers?
Dude, I don't think it's a big deal.
I'd just like to hear.
I hate social media, so I hate reading. There's nothing worse as a sports fan than reading into social media.
Mm-hmm.
I have zero.
Just put your eye off the ball.
I got zero interest in it. I really don't. I don't know what's going on in a guy's life. I don't know context. I don't know.
Want me to add to your social media hatred? And I just got to alert people not to get duped. Bryce Harper, this is a tweet from May 19th, 2013, but it's making its rounds once again. San Fran is one of my favorite places to play. Such an incredible ballpark and fan base. Ready to play there again. Hashtag blessed. But people are retweeting it thinking that he tweeted that out today.
Okay.
So I just want people, just to alert you all.
That's a public service, Andrew.
Don't get duped by this 6-year-old Bryce Harper tweet.
Nice. Yeah.
All right.
Nice, Andrew. Nice.
Because my heart skipped a beat, I'll be honest.
Real quick, too. John Morosi tweeted, sources, Marlins and Phillies continued discussing Real Muto trade. There's been momentum in the last 24 hours. Sixto Sanchez is among the players who have been discussed, although it is not certain he would be part of the final deal if completed. Now we'll keep an eye on that situation as well. We'll see if the Phillies can make a big signing, and short of Bryce Harper at this point. So we'll keep our eye on that as well as we lead up to the NBA trade deadline.
That's right.
3 hours and 21 minutes until the league office is closed for trade business in the NBA. And it's been a wild couple of days, Ant. A lot of players jumping around team to team. It's been an interesting time. You know, trade deadline in sports is sometimes you build it up to be something it's not. But lately in the NBA, it is. Like, it delivers. Because it's not just guys being traded, bodies. It's big, big names that can help teams and expiring deals.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, the NBA's taken the place of baseball. I mean, that was the
trade. A lot of ways, you're right.
Baseball was born on the deadline, right?
Oh, man, it was crazy. Remember the end of July? It's
July 31st. It was always a big deal.
Yeah, it's a nutty day.
Same thing with the hot stove.
Mm-hmm.
NBA hot stoves is taking the place of baseball's. Yeah. Better than baseball's hot stove.
The thing is, with the baseball hot stove, they don't even turn the burner on anymore until at least February. Like, you'd run out of gas.
No, it's different. You know, I mean, you see the NBA, and that movement is why it's such a popular league.
Yeah, it's instant gratification.
I don't know if it's good.
Like, well, like that's a whole other story.
It's entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Is it good?
Well, it's good when you're in the mix to acquire good players to put you over the top.
Right.
But is it good for the league?
That's what I'm talking about.
Another question. Yeah, you're right. And it's an interesting kind of dilemma the league finds it. Because post this deadline at 3 o'clock today, you said, I think, a third of the teams yesterday are tanking. Post deadline today, it could be even more. It could be upwards of 12 to 14 teams. You know, teams right now that may be in the playoff mix are, in essence, some of them may be even trying to tank if they're an 8 seed. Because they know they can't do anything as an 8 seed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you know, what the NBA, what can they do about it? I don't know. I don't know what they can do about it. I don't have that solution. Wish they did. 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in.
They'll tell you it's not a problem, though.
No, because they're grabbing headlines all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like the...
Because it's about national, it's about the old global ratings, right? Mm-hmm. So it's great. And, you know, I mean, quite frankly, right now, I'm happy because I got a squad.
You're a have.
I got a squad.
You're a have.
Yes.
It's good to be a have.
And hopefully the Phillies will have a catcher coming up.
And also, you know what's coming up in about a week's time would be the great Valentine's Day. Why don't you tell the people about it?
I will. I also have my top 25 Sixer hates.
You got 20? You probably rattled them off like boom, boom.
Yeah, remember yesterday we talked about it? Entitled Hate Your Own. I got my 25 Hate Your Owns. I'll divulge later on. Wow. Valentine's Day is next week. You love, not hate, the woman in your life, but she's been lying to you. She's been telling you she doesn't want anything for Valentine's Day. In reality, it's a test. Yeah, don't fall for it. When the person loves you the most... They say, I don't want anything for Valentine's Day. No, I'm good. Nah, they don't need anything, right, but they want something. They want. It's the only day of the year set aside for saying I love you. What better way to say I love you than with a real long-stem American Beauty rose deeply and lavishly dipped in pure 24-karat gold? I've known Steven for years. I can tell you personally, his best gift ever for Valentine's Day. They're not going to die in a week. Not going to get tossed in the trash like flowers. They last forever. They come with a lifetime guarantee starting at just $59. Don't pay for shipping. Go right now to ihstevensinger.com. Take advantage of Steven's free shipping to arrive in time for Valentine's Day. So many more gorgeous, gorgeous colors to choose from that are exclusively only available at Steven Singer Jewelers. That is ihstevensinger.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged.
What up?
Oh, Jason!
It's ridiculous.
I gotta wait.
Wait for what?
All day tomorrow.
Well?
Tonight, tomorrow, I get to see them. By the way, we're gonna be at the Sixers tomorrow. Yeah. I am so excited. Sixers practice facility tomorrow. And you know what you're doing? Can we talk about it?
Yeah. I think it's public knowledge.
Yeah, well, I know, but I was kind of like being dramatic about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I love...
You say you didn't like drama. I didn't think you were going there.
Well, I like good drama. Not petty, not nonsense. The Moses Malone statue...
The unveiling.
I love Moses.
Wow, you were a huge Moses guy.
I used to, when I watch a game, such a loser, right? Every day on this show, I unveil how big a loser I am. So when I was a kid, I used to watch, when I watched Moses play, I would do scratch marks for rebounds and points.
Yep.
Because
charting the game.
Another offensive board.
Yep.
And then you make the circle and you color in the circle for the free throw. You leave it open if he misses it. And I loved watching, you know, when Mo just came, it was outrageous. It was it.
Well, I love the way he like ran the floor. He like lumbered, you know?
Yeah.
He did. And he had the big sideburns, the chops.
It was funny. This starting five is the best starting five since then.
Now, that one accomplished an NBA title in a different era of the NBA in 83. It has the potential.
No, it's the best one since then. I'm not saying it's better.
Oh, okay. I'm from head to head here.
No, I'm not saying it's better than.
Oh, since then? It's not even close.
It's the best starting five since then.
Yeah, I mean, who's
and
the best starting five in between?
Bobby Jones in the five. Ivoroni was just, that was kind of a placeholder.
Yeah, they couldn't wait to get Bobby Jones off the bench and get Ivor Roney on it.
He was the closer.
Yeah.
But that
your
was
your best five.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's the best five since then.
Yeah, I can't even think of another five that you would even consider a great five. Because the Iverson five wasn't great.
No.
It was Iverson. And it was George Lynch and Theo Ratliff.
Defensive-oriented guys.
Yeah, you had, and Eric Snow. You had to have those guys on the floor with him that weren't going to be clamoring for the ball offensively because they weren't going to get it. That's why they traded Stackhouse. That's why they traded Larry Hughes, the whole thing. So, yeah, it's definitely the best since that era of Sixers basketball. It's not even close.
Here's one thing, too, about, you know, this notion about there's only one basketball. The way they score now, the way you're up. Did you see the Bucks last night? Andrew, did you see the Bucks last night? You see what they did?
Giannis is an absolute freak.
Yeah, I know. Nut.
148 against Washington. Right?
There was a play where Giannis was backing down someone just inside the free throw line, spins and leaps and dunks. Like, didn't even have a running start. I mean, he jumped about 8 feet without a running start and dunked it. I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
How's that physically possible?
Seriously, right? I mean, it's insane.
He's a price of the mission guy.
No, he's a great player. No,
yeah, he's phenomenal.
I mean, he's ridiculous. But but my only point to bring that up was, you know, you scored. The scoring is so up in the NBA that guys are going to get absurd numbers. Jimmy's going to get his numbers. Tobias Harris is going to get numbers.
I mean, you're scoring 130 a night.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Joe gets his numbers. Guys are going to get numbers. That's all you want. Look, and great players, you know, on the way to a title, they want numbers.
Because that's how they get paid, too.
Well, you know.
Yeah, it's part of it.
A great player, you want your numbers.
Yep. Yeah, you want to fill it up. Could you imagine, like, 1996, a team that scores 129 points and losing? Like, the Wizards scored 129 and lost. You used to have games then, like Larry Brown coaching with the Pistons.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd win 87-79.
Yeah, that changed mid 80s with the Pistons, like late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you had big numbers. I mean, 70s and early 80s, early to mid 80s, they would score buck 30.
Well, yeah, with Bird and Magic.
The Nuggets.
Yeah.
The Nuggets were a team that ran up and down the floor.
Mm-hmm.
They were a buck 30, buck 40 every night.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like you said this yesterday, like everything in sports is kind of cyclical, like especially for teams. Like when you're down, eventually you're going to rise. And, you know, most franchises do other than like Cleveland or whatever, you know, the Knicks since the Ewing era. But when you look at it, and is there going to be a cyclical time in the NBA where, you know, the defensive struggle comes back?
Yeah, it always happens.
But sports, like rule-wise now, just do everything they can to promote one thing, and that's offense. Look at the NFL.
You know what? You're right, except when the Patriots put a fullback back in the game.
Yeah, and they win 13-3.
Dude, they won using the I formation in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
They ran an I formation.
Yeah, when's the last time you saw that in the NFL?
That's my point.
That's why, like, high school football. That's Harry High School.
And then you look at Super Bowl, and you look at how they won. That was the best thing for the league. Because you can't have it go out of whack one way. And so the offensive genius that everybody wants, oh, I got to have Sean McVay's barista. Well, guess what? Look what happened. He got beat.
Well, so we could be going back to a defense, you know, offense wins games, defense wins championships?
Yeah.
You could go back in that?
Yeah.
You're not going to go back to the 3 yards in a cloud of dust.
No, but
because
again,
offenses are dynamic now. Because,
but
again,
you got a guy like Belichick, and it was it's just a matter of time. Because the lighter you get, the more defensive backs you get, then the offenses go, well, you know, I'm looking at linebackers that are really safeties, so I'd be a fool not to run the ball.
Yeah, it's all situational.
Well, but you're looking at personnel.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I look at.
Yeah, what's on the field?
Yeah, I look at you, and you look at your linebackers. I go,
well, I can run all day on these guys.
Yeah, right.
Which is exactly what he did against the Chiefs.
220-pound linebackers, I'm going to run on you.
Yeah, you heard Roman talking about it. So they get their light package in, he's going to check to a run. The heavy package is in. Watch, he's going to go to Gronk here in the seam. Just the way it is. 610-632-0975. Any coach worth of salt. And Belichick's got a lot of salt. He's like a PennDOT truck before a storm. Let's go to
that's a good analogy.
Paul in South Philly's on the Fanatic. What's up, Paulie?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, Paul.
Hey, real quick, while you're talking about Romo, I want to ask you guys, do you like him predicting the game, man?
I do, yeah. I'd like it.
That gets on my nerves.
Does it really?
Oh, my God. I hate that he does that. Oh, God. Watch this. He's going to throw it.
You know what it is? I like his enthusiasm.
I like his enthusiasm, but as it goes on in the game, it just drives me crazy, man. It's like watching a movie and a person next to you just keeps telling you what's about to happen. Because he's right. That's what bothers me. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I feel you.
But back to the Jimmy Butler tweet, I think it's being taken totally out of context. I think what that was a word of encouragement to the Sixers players that are being traded and to a lot of the other players around the NBA that are being traded. I mean, you know, just think, Landry Shamet, you know, he's not happy about this. You know, I think it's a word of encouragement.
Maybe. Again, it could be. I don't take it that it means anything, right? Like, other than my man likes, you know, philosophizing. So that's right. Cool. Like, you right. know, some people, you know, maybe he's feeling deep in the morning, right? And he goes, and he sends a tweet out. You know, right. That's cool by me.
Yeah, I didn't get a negative connotation from it. I kind of felt like he was trying to send a positive message to the players that are being traded. You know, people forget, man. These are whole families that got to move.
Yeah.
There's a lot that's going on in these couple of days. People's futures.
Look at a guy like, we talked about this yesterday. Look at a guy like Tobias Harris. He's living 3,000 miles away.
Right.
Well, he's used to it.
Yeah, I mean, he's been bopping all. He's like a gypsy.
What do you think, Paul? What do you think? You feel good about this?
I love the trade.
Me too.
I love the trade. You could always get bench players, so I need a good five.
How about that's this five, man?
Yeah, this five is awesome.
Yeah. Love it, Paulie.
Thanks, fella.
Thanks, Paul. The thing is the Sixers have reached this level now of rearrange your life to watch them play. You know what I mean?
You become
you're planning around it, yeah.
Well, before the season, I was doing the morning, and before the season, we did the Pledge 82.
Oh, yeah, that's an easy sign now for anybody.
Right. Well, before the year, you had the Pledge 82.
Yeah.
And it was tough. There was no Jimmy then.
So it's just Ben and Joe.
And Markel.
Covington and Dario and El Markel. I forgot about that part. Yeah, so... If you reinstitute the contract, you lay it back on the table for the audience, then boom, it's an easy sign up now.
We had a lot of a lot of people sign up.
Of course,
excited.
Well, they're pumped up to see just in, look. We talked about this yesterday. Watching the Sixers with JJ, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid prior to even the Butler trade was exciting, and then you added Butler, and you go, okay, another boom, you went up another notch. You went into that notch of, okay, maybe not NBA championship contender, but a team that can make a lot of noise in the playoffs and get to a conference final. And then, boom, you make this trade for Tobias Harris, and you go to that other notch where maybe you're not on par with Golden State, but you're a team that can get there and battle Golden State, and we'll see what happens. We'll see if Golden State's healthy. We'll see if Steph is healthy or KD at that time, and we'll roll the dice with that, and we'll try and move forward with that core group. And if you decide not to move forward with Jimmy Butler, okay, we're going to have the cap space, and we'll go out and go, KD, come on over, dude.
Well, listen, you know, that's the spot. That's why I don't mind paying the steep price. I'm cool with it. I like the core. This is their last offseason where you'll have chance to add max contracts. I think you're in good shape.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.